Christ. We all are children of God. And they took that insult and turned it into, in a way, your identity. Because if you are a child of God, you are a man of Christ. But it wasn't the people who were necessarily just worshiping.
I didn't understand the message. In the back.
Inside of them, no one's hiding. No one else can see. It was the people who went out and preached, they worshiped, they prayed, they everything out in
this
public.
Is
it wasn't
functional.
It wasn't something that was private.
Yeah, yeah. Press shift and the arrow keys, and then move it up in increments.
While
you selected something.
Okay.
That's what I've
always done. And just kind of compliment them. So, and that's
shift
really cool,
and arrow
because
keys.
If you're a believer, that doesn't necessarily mean you're a Christian. It's not necessarily bad that you're not a Christian, but God wants you to be a Christian. I mean, he wants you to be a believer in Christ, not just someone who says, I believe Jesus is Christ. That is good, but it's not the full story of what God wants.
Am I messing with the game?
So what I want to talk about is kind of... What I want to talk about is kind of like... Well, I feel like three major parts of what it means to actually be a Christian. I talk about learning about God and how to do that as a Christian, connecting to God and what that means for a Christian, and practicing.
That's what it was.
Actually practicing our holy war, being effectively aiming in Christ. So I start dealing with learning about God is have a false here by Tyler. Acts 17:11.
Now these people were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether things were so.
That's a great example of being an active Christian and reading the word. The people in Thessalonica, they kind of directed Paul almost immediately, but these people in names in the Bible. But those people, they actively searched the Lord when they heard what Paul said. They wanted to be active in what they learned. So they went to the Lord. They didn't just listen, but they actively engaged by returning to the Lord and finding out what is true and what is related to that. That's really what we should be doing as a Christian.
So I was just asked to turn it up because they can't hear them.
We have to understand what we are exactly. Everything in the Bible, everything, all the words. Everything is in your, it helps us understand what exactly
those are the wireless mics.
Do.
No, but that's the one that we
helps us
that's
see good examples of Christian living.
Do you know which one is the one
that
we're reading?
Like one is the one that
we're
reading.
Okay.
I think you're just going to have to micro it, like turn it on. Maybe get up there. I think that's the one feeding back or something.
So,
well, but there would be, there's no, there's no signal coming from. Because they turn it off. So they just turn it off.
Matthew 4:4-11. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple.
That's muted.
You are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written. He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in your hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.
I don't know what was feeding back. It was just
answered him. It is also written, do not put the Lord your God in the tent.
Who knows?
But
I can hear
the high
frequency.
Then will take him to a very high mountain and show him all the kingdoms of the world
and
all the conquerors. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the God, the Lord your God only. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him and angels came and attended him.
That's another great example. And while most likely none of us will probably be face to face with the devil and find a atonement of what's going on, but it's a good example showing how Jesus used scriptures to not only to make decisions, but use scripture to justify those decisions.
See, why is
that?
There's no input going to this
side. That's important because if you can't justify your decision
well,
with scripture,
there's,
and
there's no, nothing turned on.
You can't
just
say it's a good decision.
Doesn't get sound.
In terms of evil and not evil. But, so we have to use scripture and we have to learn more about scripture in order to live out our lives in a way that God sees and God wants us to live out our lives. And another example is Matthew 5:17. Important anywhere. There's no one verse that is more important than the other. It's all important in the grand scheme of what God wants to tell us through His Word. You can't just take one section and not take from another section. Everything in the Bible is connected because God oversaw and divinely inspired every single verse in the Word in this book. So, that's a really important part of learning about God and how scripture and many other things, but scripture and the Word helps us set upon the basis for which we call ourselves Christians, the basis for which we live out as Christians. And then, next I want to talk about the connection to God. Connection to God is very important, and sometimes we just like to skip out on connecting with God. We'd rather see Him as a celebrity than someone we want to know. We'd rather know of Him rather than know Him, because we don't want to have any more trouble. We don't have to give too much of our lives to Him. Like God doesn't want us to just know of Him. He wants us to know Him. That's really important. So I'm going to use John 15:4 here.
Many. Just as if the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, but must remain in the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in the vine.
We're not connecting to God. We're not in the vine. We may make it to eternity, or we will make it to eternity if you trust Jesus. But if you don't connect to Him, you're not gonna. Not much is gonna come of your life in the grand scheme of things. If you don't connect to Him and you don't abide by Him in the branches, you won't produce any fruit. You'll just be like a twig on the ground. That's really important, because anything we do here doesn't have anything we do here for the world has really no impact into our life. Has nothing. But the things we do for God here in this world will last forever. There's nothing more important than what we do for God. If we don't connect to Him, then we can't possibly think to do anything for God. So, I want to talk about the big points in the connection to God. First, how reading the Word brings us closer and connects us closer to God. And that's a 2 Timothy 3:16-17.
All scripture is inspired by God and beneficial for teaching, for reading, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be fully capable of good for every good work.
That's what we're talking about, all scripture is divinely inspired. So in a way, when you're reading the Word, you're reading strong people who wrote it, you're also reading what God wrote with them. So you're understanding what God wrote with those people. You're understanding His mind better. And if you want to connect to yourself, you have to understand who they are, what they believe in, you could say, what they say about things. And that's all in the Bible. Everything, for the most part, everything in the Bible helps us connect and see more of God as a bigger picture. We get to see some sides of Him in some places and some other sides in other places. We see many aspects of God and many decisions, many quotes, per se, of what he says he is like and what he says, how we should connect to him. And understanding the Lord helps us understand those aspects of him. You can't understand God without understanding the Lord. If you don't understand the Lord, then God is the Lord. So if you don't understand the Lord, then you can't really understand God. So connecting and really deep digging into reading the Lord helps us learn about God, which helps us connect to God better. I also want to talk about how worship brings us closer to God. That's a Romans 12:1.
Romans 12:1. Therefore, urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, who is your spiritual service and worship.
That's a really strong statement, to sacrifice yourself to God. That's not some little thing. When you're sacrificing yourself, when you say sacrifice something to something, you're giving all of that to that. It isn't like you're getting a little bit of it. If you sacrifice, like you could say, as they sacrifice things in the Old Testament, you sacrifice the entire unit of your life. If you had the little lamb, you would sacrifice the entire unit of the unbelieved lamb to atone for your sins. So when it's saying sacrifice yourself for, you know, which is a true spiritual service of worship, that means giving yourself, all of yourself to God. And as he says, I will draw near to me and I will draw near to you. If you give yourself to God, you connect yourself closer to God because you're giving all of your minds and soul and body to God so that God may use it and God may abide in you. That's really important because worship is a form of, in a way, it's a form of praise. It is praise, but it's also giving ourselves to God and reaffirming always that you are better, you are greater, you are everything. We want to give ourselves to you. So let us give ourselves to you so that you may come closer to us. Then I also want to talk about how prayer brings us closer to God in Philippians 4:6-7.
Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
So it says, don't be anxious in anything, but in everything, by prayer, including. So it shows us that really how essential prayer is in the life of a Christian. Our situation is to both connecting self, instead of connecting me on things, but connecting to God. So don't be anxious about anything. So if you want to learn more about God, don't be anxious about it or anything like that, what it says, but in everything by prayer. So everything would include connecting, everything. But it says the peace of God, special confidence, will go to your heart and mind through Christ. So when you pray, God comes to you closer. It comes to you, the peace of it, the peace of God comes closer to you and draws your hearts and minds. That's Him coming closer to you. That's not just it's Him coming closer to you. It's literally in your hearts and minds that Jesus Christ brings His peace with Him. Now, also, I want to talk about a story connecting to God. Relate to this in a way. But don't be anxious about anything. And highlight points that you don't need to know everything. And I would share a story that is related to that. It's a personal story. I was at New Camp. And it was about 2 years ago, I believe. But it was a 5-day long New Camp. Last day was moving out. But the second day of New Camp, God asked a brother in my mind, he says, what does revival mean? And I was like, what does revival mean? Revival means, well, I guess it means that people believe in you, lead others to believe in you, and that kind of spreads around. I was like, okay, that's a good answer. And then he passes something to come across. And that's it, I'm going there. God asks again, what does revival mean? I'm like, okay, maybe I didn't give him good enough answer. Well, I guess maybe revival means people who know you, we know people who know you as well, and that spreads around the area, but also spreads around the city, maybe the state, country, world, etc. It's like, yeah, that was a much better answer. I showed him that I knew. And then the fourth day, which is essentially the last day of the weekend, he just comes up and says, what does the Bible mean here? I was like, okay, if you're asking me all the time, I probably don't know. He's probably giving the wrong answer. And instead of trying to just keep giving answers until I get the wrong answer, I said, God, what does the Bible mean? I asked because I didn't know. So instead of changing to try to know or trying to just guess it, I asked God, okay, what does it mean? Teach me so I can know. I feel like he said to me, revival means it's an outpouring of my love that goes into people and overflows into them and continues to overflow into people of effects until it spreads from everyone in that building and everyone in that city and then the state and then the country and beyond. It's an outpouring of love where it becomes so great that it can't be detected.
Wow.
I was like, that's a much better answer than mine. But you don't have to know everything, and you don't have to claim to know everything, because you can always say, I don't know everything, but I know someone that does. And that's really important, because so many people think they have to have everything right, or they have to know everything, or they know exactly how to do something. And God just asks, abide in me, and I in you, and I you don't have to know everything, because I know everything for you.
Wow.
So that brings us to practicing being a Christian, which is really the all along of being a Christian, being in Christ, which is actively practicing the faith. And that has a lot of areas. There's so many ways you can practice being a Christian, but I want to focus on mostly three areas. So first, active prayer is and really important part of being a Christian. You actively pray, not just saying the Lord's Prayer over again. The Lord's Prayer is great. If you want to pray, that's great. But active prayer involves praying for those directly around you, praying for a corner of this, praying out loud at some places when you feel like you need to, praying for people who have passed by your life, like Mark's Thursday, Thursday in the fall, something like that. That's great. It's actively going out and praying for the things around you that God wants you to pray for. That helps us both practice the faith, but also through that, other people may know God and see that and be inspired to do the same. It helps us understand that prayer is extremely important. It helps us help fix our problems and help fix the areas around us. I have another little story showing the importance of prayer. A friend of mine was about 4 years ago, I'd say. He was in the hospital, it was pretty bad. He got heat stroke and had to be led back to the hospital. And he was a group of friends of him. And also the organization was part of it. There was a day planned, and we were planning to pray for him, from pray for him plan to pray for his sickness, all get together. Sadly, the day that we were supposed to get together, he died. It wasn't great, but there was one thing that I wanted. That upset me. Two things. But he died. So he died, and that was upsetting. But nothing upset me that I wasn't quite expecting was that they stopped. They decided not to pray. They decided not to be grateful. That upset me not because necessarily that we weren't getting together anymore, but that they decided to let the world, they decided to let death decide whether or not they're grateful. They decided to let death stop them from praying. they decided that because of what the Lord and what the Lord did, that they didn't need to pray. And that really bothered me for a while. I was thinking, what, it doesn't even matter what happens. It's only matters what God says can be done. And God can do anything. So it doesn't matter what the world says, it doesn't matter what the world does. You can't let the world stop you from praying. And that's really important because so many times today, people just don't pray for something. They don't pray for something like how well. They don't pray for something because either the world doesn't want it or people say it's bad. People around them say it's bad. It's not popular. And well, it's not possible. But then you think of times like, you think of times where the disciples pray things that many people didn't know. Or the disciples even prayed for people to come back from life, and it happened. So you can't let the world and its rules and its set in stone facts as it may believe to deter you from praying for what God wants you to pray for. Because the only thing that can stop you from praying is yourself. There's nothing else that can really stop you from praying. And let's go practicing being Christian is open worship. And while we worship to connect to God and to be close to Him, there's also open worship to help people to being Christian. Open worship helps others worship, as like people who need worship. But also it helps us trust in God and always trust in Him and always believe in Him to do what He knows right. When you're worshiping, and I know like it doesn't really seem like it needs to be worship that you really need to worship, you're saying, I trust you to have the help of this situation. And a great example of that is Acts 16, 35 and 36.
Now God, in my heart,
they worshiped while they were in prison because they were trusting God. They trusted that God knew what was going to happen. God knew what was going to be done. And that they just had to trust in Him and worship Him. And they did. And when they worshiped Him and they trusted Him, a great earthquake happened and they were able to get out. Not only were they able to get out, but they also saved the jailer himself. The light of Christ. So by trusting God and not being afraid to openly worship, they not only gain their own freedom, but the freedom of another. And that's really important. Because we can't always just think about necessarily what we want or let the world decide what we want. But through trusting in God, we both get freedom and we get other people's freedom. We lead other people to their freedom. And then, practicing being a Christian, this is a very important part for now, it's less popular. It's being out of the world. And many people, when they try to be, they don't always want to see. So, Romans 12, 2.
Do not be conformed to this world, but He transformed by renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and appreciable and perfect.
If you are of the world, the world will love you as its own, because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because this world hates you.
So it says not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So being not in the world, believing yourself to God, so that you can transform my life and be completely not in the world, but of God. And the second part is really important because it says if you're not in the world will hate you. So, will not the world will hate you. And if you are in the world will love you. So that's really saying that if you're not, if you're being not in the world, people will not like you. Some people will not hate you. There'll be many people who will be against you. So ask yourself this, is there people who don't like you? It's an odd question, but if you can't say yes, that's a little odd, because if you can't say yes, that means you're not really rejecting the influence. If people, they're only, it's an assessment of people who will hate you because you're not in the world. But if you are in the world, they will love you. So it's saying, if you're not in the world, there will be people who don't like you. If you can't say there are people who don't like you, then you're not really practicing not being in the world. And although they might not always be the most popular here, or to say, or to try out here too, it's really important because the more you let the world into your life, the more the world takes your life. The more it starts maybe just like one area, maybe one action even. You don't think of it as much. You can even try to say that it was for some way of connecting to people around you to try to get them to God. But you make small concessions and you don't realize how much you're giving to the world, giving it a foothold. Much like how Solomon, at first, was very godly king. He loved God and spent his life with him. But he slowly let other things of the world creep in and let him take footholds. Maybe it was first that he was getting famous or that he was getting really rich. And although he didn't necessarily think that those were bad, he thought, oh, I can help all of God's kingdom with this. He let them take footholds by seeing them as great, even though in comparison they really weren't much of anything compared to God. And that led to him eventually many paths of sin, and eventually it led to basically the destruction of his life. He just worshipped idols. So he said he worshipped God. He brought so many things in the world in without realizing until it was too late to realize that so much of his life had been lost to the world. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be always active and always looking out to be not of the world, not let anything bring anything to your life. Because the more you let into your life, of course, the more it opens up the door for other things to enter as well. And the more you let into your soul, the more you have to get rid of out of your soul. And that goes both ways. So while bringing in more God gets rid of the world, bringing in more world to the world brings out less God. And I want to end with a little active practice, you could say. Actively doing what we talked about here. So we're going to practice being Christian right now. And we're going to do something you might not be comfortable with, but God doesn't want to ask you to be comfortable, so I guess too bad. But we're going to do a little prayer practice. We're going to send off the people to, preferably someone you don't know. You don't have to do it if you don't want to, but preferably someone you don't know. And you're going to ask God for the word of God for that person. You'd be surprised. You're going to be praying for them. You're going to ask, what do you want me to tell this person, God? What word from you do you want me to tell them? You go off and there's a choose. You'd be really surprised what God tells you. Let's give you like a little example of encouragement. I did it once at a youth group, and I was sitting next to a person, and God said to tell them there'd be a light in the movie industry, and I told them that. And said, yeah, I actually do want to go into the movie industry, and I want to be a light in it. So I was like, okay, that's really cool. God knew that, and he wanted me to encourage him in that. So don't be afraid, and ask God, honestly, what he wants to tell the other person. So go off right now, find someone, preferably you don't know, or preferably you know less. And they don't have to hit one. They find someone and pair off, then they go for it.
I'm getting a lot of just constant buzz from the piano channel, so I think it's not plugged in. Is that correct?
Can you check?
Yeah, please do.
When we were doing our song service, my synth was, did someone turn the volume down on it? Because I could barely hear it.
Hold on, for what?
My synthesizer.
Synthesizer?
The keyboard, the white one.
Keyboard. I didn't know there was a... I know Ann's on the piano.
So Ann's on the piano, Alex on the drums, Noah on the guitar, and then I think mine is hooked up to the electric guitar or something.
Oh, okay.
But I think someone either turned it off or turned it down.
Okay. Well, that would be my dad, because he was messing with stuff. I don't know if he was aware that you were even there.
Yeah.
So... Okay.
Yeah, so do you think you could turn me up even just a little bit? It's hard for me.
Okay, so... I turn you up...
Uh-huh.
That would turn you up on the mains. Now, the mains are pointed at the audience. That won't make you hear yourself better.
Yeah. Well, basically what I'm trying to go for is the bass. Because, you know, we got the drums and the piano and the guitar, those are higher. And then I want to get the bass to kind of get people. So if you can turn at least the bass up a little bit.
Let me see if I can turn you up on the sub, maybe. Okay, that's a little bit up. Yeah. But, I'm trying to think who to ask, but there are separate speakers up there that you might have to ask somebody to mess with up there, so you can hear yourself better.
Well, I don't need to hear myself. I have it in the mono, and mine has speakers on it, so I can hear myself through the speakers.
Okay.
I can't hear the bass, and I can't hear anything coming out of the bass.
Okay.
Like, I'm supposed to be able to feel it with my feet.
Okay.
But I'm not.
Well, then I can turn you up here a little bit, too.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah? Somebody's going to kind of life, ain't it?
Now, I know you've been working a lot
down
here.
What, trying to get a new business going? Well, I just went up with a big company out of Utah. That's where I got this brand. They want me to start a tax appeal, but then I'm not going to tell them what I'm going to do myself.
Take it to the Lord, let him tell you.
For sure. It's all right, but we need to pick much money, right? Now, Marcus can all be in that. Oh, you need to get some work to work. Put some relief in my life. Well, God's honor was all standing up for that. Keeps acting up all of this stuff.
That's right, we need this louder.
Practicing being a Christian is really what God calls us to do. It really is like this. This is one important bit of practicing being a Christian. And we ask for prayer. We're going to ask for prayer. But God will tell you what he wants you to do. If he doesn't tell you directly, it will be his word. What he wants you to do. There's always something that you can do for God. So, I want you to go away today thinking about how you can better actively be a Christian and not just a believer. You're not being passive in how you live your life believing in Christ, rather being active and you're being a meek Christ and Christian in how you live with Christ. And it's leaving with that thought. Pray yourself real quick. Prayers. Dear God, thank you for this time today. I want you to understand you better. That we are, I'm just praying to make you seeing your word and yourself better, practicing people to act, help better practice being a Christian, help live your whole lives more actively for you instead of being passive. And thank you for the new words you gave people here today and how they help pray for other people. How to encourage people and how to open up lights for people. And thank you for how you've been here in Jesus' name. Amen.